Today's presenter is Matthew Kidler. Matthew has worked for IBM Java Technology Center since September 2000, and is initially starting in development working on the JVM's garbage collector. He joined the Level 3 support team in October 2005 and is currently technical lead for the Hercules Bay service team. At this time, I'd like to turn the presentation over to Matthew.
Thanks, Elijah. Hello, everyone. Good afternoon for those of you in the UK. Good morning for those of you in the US. If we make a start on the presentation, if we move from the title slide onto slide two, this basically gives you the brief details of what we're going to look at in today's presentation. We're going to start with an introduction to the out-of-memory error debugging process, determining whether your out-of-memory error is native or Java related, and we will then move on to how to monitor a process's native memory usage, followed up with how to profile what is using the native memory, and finally there's some links to extra resources and documentation that may help with doing so. Moving on to slide three. And what we have here is a flow diagram of the out-of-memory problem determination flow. There's an interactive version of this available on the IBM Guided Activity Assistant. A link for that is included on the final slide of the presentation. The interactive version for each of the boxes or each of the steps, it has further details on precisely what you need to do for those steps. The chart's really divided into anything with the green background relates to a Java out of memory. Anything on the blue background, we're into the native out of memory space. If we move on to slide four, determining the source of out-of-memory errors is primarily done using a policy of elimination. There's two memory pools we have that could be exhausted, Java or native. If the Java heap's not exhausted, then you're looking at a native memory problem. We have three real sets of diagnostic files that can help in this determination. A Java dump, generally, is written out as a Java core.txt file. We have the Bose GC, which is the garbage collector logging. And we have various tools for monitoring the native memory usage of a process. Careful monitoring of the Bose GC and the process memory can allow you to proactively identify problems before they ever reach a critical stage. If we move to slide five, this is a flow diagram that details the steps for looking at a Java core with the means or with the aim of determining whether we are looking at native or Java out of memory. This is, again, is an extract from the IBM Guided Activity Assistant. We'll take a look at each of these steps in more detail over the coming slides. If we move to slide six, there's three steps to looking at your Java core. We first look at the current thread details. There will be a stack trace there. The top method or the top call on that stack trace will have an identifier that signifies whether it's a native method or a Java method. If we have a native method, the allocation, or it implies the allocation is related to native heap memory. A Java method implies the allocation is related to Java heap memory. The second area of the Java core of interest is the meminfo subcomponents. there is a header within this section that documents the currently available free bytes and the total allocated bytes within the heap. The values are documented in hexadecimal. There are several other sections which we will look at on a following slide, which detail various other areas of JVM native memory usage. These areas can be summed relatively quickly to give you an idea of just how much memory, or a rough estimation of how much memory the JVM itself is consuming out of your process size. The third area of the Java core is the GC history. This is new in JVMs 5.0 and above, and basically it presents some extremely interesting highlights of GC activity. Again, we have an example of the various things we look for in the GC history on a following slide. So if we move to slide 7, we have three examples of thread stacks on this slide. First thread stack relates to a Java allocation. You can observe this at the end of the top stack frame. There's the Java file name and line number of the call that was, or the call that led to the out of memory error. The second stack trace relates to native memory. You can observe at the end of the top stack frame there is a signifier native method. This indicates your allocation, or you are within native code, and therefore your allocation is a native heap allocation. The third type of out of memory you can identify from the current thread is there is a limit, or prior to 5OSR3 there was a limit to the number of class loaders that were available to a Java process. If the stack trace presented on the slide under the class loader section is what you see in your Java core, it signifies you have hit that limit. There are tech docs out there that will document the resolution or how to work around that problem. It's via a JVM command line option. And the limit was completely arbitrary, so there's no harm in removing it. Moving on to slide 8, we have an example of the various meminfo sections within the Java core. You can see there are two values at the top, a brief summary of the heap space. So heap space 3 is the currently available number of bytes within the heap. The heap space allocated represents the total size of Java heap that we have committed. The next slide contains, not moving on yet, the next slide contains a description of what these segments are. In internal memory, relates to non-specific areas of JVM memory usage. Generally, these segments do not consume a large amount of the JVM's native memory footprint. Object memory relates to the actual Java heap space. Class memory represents the significant portion of memory segments that are used to hold class data. The JIT code cache segments are the areas or the memory segments that have been allocated to contain the jitted code. And the data cache contains profiling information that is taken of executing bytecode to allow the JIT to better optimize methods when it compiles them. The various sections, or the various fields you see there, the segment is a pointer to the JVM's handle to the memory region. The start is a hexadecimal address relating to where the memory segment starts. The alloc is the point of the memory segment that we are currently or have currently committed to. And end is the pointer to the end of the memory segment. The type field indicates an internal identifier for exactly what type of memory is a segment is. You get different types in some of these sections. For example, in the object memory, if you are running a generational policy, you will see two different types that relate to the different areas of the heap. And bytes, again, is a hexadecimal representation of the total number of bytes within each segment. If we move to slide 9, referring to the previous slide, what it was showing us was there was 385 megabytes of Java heap 3 from a total heap size of 630 megabyte heap. And the VM memory segments there are basically a high-level descriptor of what each of the various segments relate to, as we have just discussed. If we move on to slide 10, this slide covers, this slide and subsequent slides cover the GC history section of Java Core. What we're looking at here is a Java out of memory problem. The top of the GC history, you see a JNAL allocate indexable object returning null. This is basically an unsatisfied allocation failure. So a request has been made for a number of bytes that we cannot satisfy. It will give you the number of bytes requested, and it will give you a pointer to the class. If we move forward a slide, slide 11, again we see the J9 allocate indexable object returning null with a number of bytes and a class pointer. What we also have this time is two additional lines. There is the forcing J9 allocate indexable object to fail due to excessive GC. And just below that, there is an excessive GC raised entry. Excessive GC is a mechanism implemented in the JVM that is there to prevent us getting into tight garbage collection loops where the garbage collector can be a little bit too efficient and it can satisfy a very small allocation request, but subsequently be invoked almost immediately for another allocation request. So generally, whatever's running on the JVM grinds to a halt while the JVM just churns through garbage collection cycle after garbage collection cycle. What excessive GC does is detects that we are spending over 95% of time in our garbage collector and freeing less than 3% of heap space. So we force or artificially inject an out-of-memory. Effectively, we are in an out-of-memory situation. We move to slide 12. Bose GC is enabled using the minus for Bose colon GC option. There is also a sub-option minus X for Bose GC log, which allows you to specify a dedicated file, as well as specifying a number of files to wrap and the number of GC cycles a file will contain. This allows you to maintain a smaller amount of data over a period of time than having just a single large file. When looking for out-of memory errors, you need to look at the last entry in the proposed GC data. However, if the proposed GC is monitored, and you look for the trends in there for heat growth, you can detect you may be about to hit an out-of-memory situation before you ever do. Slide 13 has an example of a proposed GC cycle, or the sort of data you get from proposed GC. It will have a type that relates to the area of the heap being collected. That will vary depending on the policy or the garbage collection policy in use. The real pieces of information of interest are the requested bytes right at the top of the cycle data. This is a decimal representation of the number of bytes we are trying to allocate. And down at the bottom, you can see 3 bytes highlighted in 2 places. The initial one of these is following the completion of the GC cycle, and the second highlighted entry there is at the completion of the allocation failure. Now, in this instance, we can see the requested bytes is greater than the available 3 bytes at the end of GC. Therefore, we have a Java out of memory problem. In scenarios where the requested bytes or the allocation request can be met, the 2 values at the end of the GC, or the 2 free bytes values at the end of the GC cycle, will differ by the allocation request. So following the GC, you have the total number of free bytes. We will then allocate some of that space, and following the allocation failure completion, the free bytes will be decremented by the space we've just allocated. So slide 14 really documents the 2 simple rules there. If your requested bytes are greater than 3 bytes after the GC cycle is complete, you've exhausted your Java heap. If the requested bytes are less than your 3 bytes, then your Java heap is not exhausted. Moving on to slide 15, we're now going to look at process memory monitoring. So, to monitor your native heap size, we have to look at the total process size of the Java process. The Java heap and virtual memory usage are static, so any process size growth is in a native heap. If you exhaust your process address space, you get native heap exhaustion, which leads to an out of memory error. In the same way Java heap exhaustion does. The native heap is managed by operating system routines, commonly malloc 3. There are various flavors of those allocation routines. And because of that, the best thing to actually look at native heap usage is to use operating system tools. The garbage collection and memory visualizer, or GCMV for short, that's available through ISA, does provide visualization capabilities for some of the OS tools currently AIX and Linux. And If we move on to slide 16, we can have a look at Windows as a specific example. Our recommended tool for monitoring your Windows process size is Perfmon. You can access that via the Control Panel Admin Tools Performance, or I believe also through the Admin Tools on your Start menu. You can also use Perfmon on the command line or in the Run dialog. Perfmon provides the capability of monitoring a number of things, known as counters, for any given process. What we're particularly interested in here is the virtual bytes. That is the number of bytes that have been allocated. You'll sometimes hear people refer to this as the reserved process size. And that's because the working set, which is also sometimes of interest, is basically the bytes that are, or the volume of memory that has been committed and is currently in use. There's a difference between the two due to the various capabilities for requesting an area of memory and then not using it all and managing it as an internal memory pool. When starting the JVM, you allocate or reserve the maximum Java heap size right from the off. So if you're requesting a gigabyte heap, we will take a gigabyte chunk out of the process address space. That will be reflected in the virtual bytes. If your minimum heap size is not set to be equal to your maximum, we will only commit the minimum size. So, for example, if you have a minimum size of 256 meg, your working set will be will reflect only a 256 meg heap. If we move to slide 17, we have some instructions on exactly how to set up the Perfmon monitoring. These instructions are fairly self-explanatory. Without actually opening Perfmon and running through it, I don't think there's any real benefit here to go through each one of these step by step. So if we just move on to slide 18, again we have a series of instructions that document what to do once you've completed your monitoring and how to display the output. Again, these steps should be fairly self-explanatory when the tools open in front of anyone. So we'll not go through each of them one at a time. Moving to slide 19, we have some examples output of Perfmon. We get the capability of logging to a text-based CSV file or to a Windows binary format. You have an example there of the CSV format, and it has a date and a date timestamp and a value which represents the token you were monitoring, and in this case it's virtual bytes. You can also, the advantage of CSV files, obviously it gives you great capability for importing the data into spreadsheets and databases. Slide 20, we move forward, contains what you see in the Perfmon viewer. There's two images here. The top one is virtual bytes, and the bottom one is the working set. In this case, the flat virtual bytes suggests there's no kind of memory leak there. The working set below, we see a growth and a drop off. In this example, the growth was triggered by a heap expansion, and likewise the drop-off is triggered by heap contraction. If you look closely, right at the bottom of each of the screenshots, there's a highlighted blue line that represents the counter we're looking at. When you have this data open in Perfmon, you can actually right-click on those counters and choose to export to CSV as well, which is quite useful. There are some issues we've encountered with Perfmon. One in particular is if you obtain Perfmon from a Windows Server 2003 box, it doesn't plot using the Perfmon viewer on Windows XP. However, you can still extract the data in CSV format and import it into a spreadsheet for plotting. Moving forward to slide 21. We now move to AIX. Our recommended tool for process size monitoring in AIX is SDMON. This is available on the AIX install image. You invoke it as SDMON minus P process ID minus N minus R minus I interval, where the interval is the time between SDMON snapshots. SDMON returns you a per segment breakdown of the native memory use of the process. The value that relates to the virtual size of the process is the address range for the various heap segments. So this is basically the memory that has been allocated, but it's not necessarily used. In the default AIX memory model, the heap segments that make up the native heap are hex 3 to hex C. Slide 22, moving forward, contains an example of SDMON output. The columns of interest really here are the ESID column, which is basically the AIX memory segment. Here you can see we have 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, C, D, and 0 listed. Segments 0 and D are reserved in the default memory model. The highlighted values in red are the address range. So to calculate the memory usage or the virtual space in use within that segment, you basically take the address range and multiply it by the page size. The default page size is 4K. If you're using large pages, it should be documented in the SDMON output. The in-use column can be used to look at exactly what memory is currently committed. So that's pages that have had data written to. And are currently backed by physical memory. We move forward to slide 23. We can look at Linux. There's not so much a tool for Linux as a data source. So for Linux, you really need to look at the /proc file system to figure out what the virtual process size is at any given time. If you cat /proc/pid/status and direct that to a log file, you get a snapshot of memory usage at that time. If you script that output, obviously you get a series of output that you can then take data points from to look for trends. The value we look at here is the VM size value. Again, this is memory that has been requested and allocated from within the address space and does not necessarily mean is currently in use. Slide 24, moving forward, has an example of the data you will get from catting the procpid status file. In here, we've highlighted the field that you're particularly interested in. It reports the size of the process in kilobytes. Moving forward to slide 25. As we briefly touched on earlier, the garbage collection and memory visualizer tool is capable of plotting some OS memory logs, specifically Linux and AX. Windows is work in progress, but Perfmon provides a pretty good graphing capability of its own already. GCMP is available for, through ISA, IBM Support Assistant, and scripts for gathering the OS data are available within its help file. The big advantage of being able to plot this data or visualize it is it makes it very easy to look for trends over time. If you see your native process size increasing consistently, you can lean towards deciding you've got a memory leak. What you would expect is if there is no memory leak, that eventually the process size would flatten off and you would stop seeing the growth. And it also lets you look for native heap footprint issues, whereby maybe we're just trying to do too much in an address space. If we move to slide 26, what we have here is a table that basically documents the amount of available memory for the various operating systems. If you're approaching, or your process size is approaching the user space limit, you're running a higher risk of encountering a native out of memory problem. AIX, the available space for the native heap depends on your Java heap settings, so your XMX setting. If you set an XMX of over 3 gig, the AIX environment variables are adjusted to provide a greater amount of native memory. However, the heap has to be allocated out of that. So, effectively, if you specify a 3 gig XMX, you've got 3.25 gig total available to you. So you're left with only 250 meg of native address space. Linux generally allows you to use 3 gig of native process space, the huge memkernel up to 4 gig. Zlinux limits you to around 2 gig, or Zlinux 31. Traditionally, Windows limits you to 2 gig. There is a 3 gig switch that can be applied to let you reference up to 3 gigabytes of memory. The maximum heap size in those cases is the same due to the way the native libraries are loaded into your process space. Moving forward to slide 27. Various causes of native heap exhaustion. So we can have footprint issues. Your native heap space is effectively the total process address space minus your Java heap size. If you size your Java heap too big, you can constrain your native memory to a level where you don't have enough. There's the possibility of Java heap leaks. Some objects within Java can have a native footprint. A leak of small Java objects that have large native backing or native footprint can lead to a native heap exhaustion. And there's a traditional memory leak where allocations are being made by a call such as malloc, and the corresponding free call is never being made. Moving forward to slide 28, on the 142 JVM, we have a option known as debug malloc. This traces calls to malloc and free, and matches any allocations that don't have corresponding frees to a backtrace. Moving forward to slide 29, the backtrace gives you a native stack for the offending trace points. It can be triggered on any trace point. It uses the existing Java core code for generating the backtrace. However, it's not available on Windows or on Linux, Titanium 64. Slide 30 details how to invoke the backtrace. You can do this from either the command line or through a properties file. There are examples there of how to specify the backtrace options and an example of what you get from that. If we move to slide 31, we can look at the options for debugging native memory as of Java 5 and Java 6. From these releases, debug malloc is no longer available. However, we do have a option minus memory check, and this has a sub-option call site. You specify this option on the command line. The call site option requires a number. The number relates to the number of allocations after which we will dump to screen the current state of memory usage from within the JVM. Frees do not count towards the call sites count. And then again, just to reiterate, this is only for JVMs at 5.0 or above. Memory check only knows about allocations from within the JVM. JNI allocations are not covered by this at this time. If we take this data and we cannot account for the increase in the process address space, as indicated by the process size monitoring, it's a reasonable assumption that a growth is outside of the JVM somewhere, at which point we need to look at falling back on more OS-based tools to actually do some allocation profiling and figure out just what is consuming the memory. If we move to slide 32, there are some examples of memory check outputs. The real fields of interest are the total allocated, which is basically the current total amount of memory for any given call site. Total freed is the memory released in total by a call site. The delta is not particularly useful. It basically shows how much memory that call site has used since the last output or the last dump of memory check data. High water is a particularly interesting piece of information. It tells you the peak memory usage for any call site. So really, in terms of looking for a leak, what you're looking for is the largest consumers in total alloc and high water. And if total alloc and high water is the same, it leads to the assertion that we're not releasing the memory associated with that call site. The call site on the end there is basically a file name and line number, and that will either be C code or assembler. Moving forward to slide 33, we get come on to the OS-based tool analysis. The advantage of using allocation profiling using OS tools, it gives you a complete picture. You know, any JNI libraries there will go through the same calls or will be profiled. So it's quite often the most effective way of tracking down just where a memory leak is or a footprint issue. These tools can have a higher performance impact. The quality and the way the tools are used vary incredibly, as does the performance impact of each tool. The following slides, we have examples of the key tools we use for the various platforms. We move to slide 34. On AIX, we have the malloc debug trace, not to be confused with the earlier JVM malloc debug. It's unfortunate they have the same name. This is provided by the AIX operating system. It's a direct plug into the malloc subsystem. When enabled, trace points are activated within the allocation routine, and it records keeps record of all allocations and frees. The option or the trace is activated using the environment variable malloc debug. And there we have the various meanings of the variety of options. Generally, when setting the stack depth, while free only provides a limited stack trace, it's often optimal because if you use a number too high, we can get crashes as the debug malloc facility doesn't understand how the JIT puts stack frames together. And generally, AIX 5.3 and above is the best place to use this information or to use this facility. Although it does exist on older systems as well. Slide 35 contains an example of the malloc debug outputs. You can see here a record of allocations. Each record includes a size and a traceback. The method at fault in these cases is the Java.com IBM JTC Demos Leaky JNI app native method. The JVM, when starting up, will make a number of allocations that are going to be required for the lifetime of the Java process. So this is the infrastructure of the garbage collector and such other components. If you ignore the first 1,000 entries, most of these lifetime allocations will fall out of the malloc debug output. There are some scripts available on DeveloperWorks, link provided on the slide, that will put or collate allocations with the same stack trace. If we move to slide 36, our Linux profiling can be done using the Valgrind tool. Linux offers several different profilers. They fall roughly into four different categories: pre-processor profilers, linker level, runtime linker level, and emulator based. Valgrind is emulator based. It's the most simple and user-friendly of the free tools available. You get a full stack trace for code paths that are leaking memory, but performance overhead is high. We've seen up to 10 times performance degradation. You have an example indication at the bottom of the slide. And slide 37 contains some example outputs. see the highlighted method, again, being the leaky JNI app native method, being flagged as the cause of the memory leak. At the bottom there, you have a summary that we have definitely lost 64K in a number of blocks. If we move to slide 38, we move to Windows. Our tool of choice on Windows currently is UMDH. This is a Microsoft utility and can be obtained from the Microsoft website. Again, it records all allocations and frees. UMDH takes snapshots over a period of time, and the comparison of the snapshots is used to figure out just where the leaking call sites are. UMDH is very well documented on the Microsoft website. The link is again at the bottom of the slide. Slide 39, moving forward, has example of UMDH output. So we can see the difference file contains an entry that basically shows the number of bytes that are currently leaked by a given call site, followed by the total allocated and the total freed, the number of allocations, and a backtrace identifier. You can then use the backtrace identifier to look at one of the snapshot files to actually figure out exactly which backtrace it is that was allocating that memory. In this case, again, it's the leaky JNI app native method. If we move forward to slide 40, there are other native profiling tools available. Some of these are Rational Purify, Root Cause, Glowcode. However, all these tools do have a license fee associated with them. Move forward to slide 41. There's some useful links on this slide. You have the IBM Guided Activity Assistance. As we said, the flow diagram of the first slide is contained within that, with detailed instructions for each step of the memory out-of-memory debugging process or troubleshooting process. There's both internal and external versions available. The Java Troubleshooting Guide is work in progress. This will be in the format of an info center. It will have similar content to IGAA, but there'll be a greater volume of reference material, as well as the ability to quick step or fast path through to specific steps of the process for more experienced users. And there's also a series of developer works articles that we are waiting to be published. These will be entitled Thanks for the Memory, and are written by Andrew Hall, who's a colleague of ours in the JTC. So that concludes the presentation. I'd like to hand the call back to Elijah at this point. Thanks for listening.
Thank you, Matthew, for a great presentation.
And we'll go first to Herman Hubler with IBM.
Hello. First of all, thanks for the presentation. It was quite useful, but I have two questions actually left. First of all, if I use the large page support in the JVM, either 64K pages or 16M pages, in this case, are all segments in the SVMon output for the large pages or only the segments used for the Java heap?
The SVMon output should contain a flag that specifies which memory or which page size each segment is using. The example within the presentation here didn't have that. I do have other examples that I could either forward you via email to illustrate that.
Okay, but basically you should see from the SVMon output which page size is used for which segment.
Yeah, there's usually a column. I think it's entitled possibly PS. It basically indicates small, large, or extra large.
Yeah, but I see. Okay. So it's not the page test per segment might be different. Okay, this answers this question. The second question left here is actually, okay, Java out of memory is clear, native out of memory as well, but what I always have a problem is to determine if it's a native out of memory or a Java heap fragmentation, as quite often seen in JDK 1.4.2 and earlier. I know it should be done with 1.5 onward, but for the JDK we're still using, let's say version 6, we still might have the problem in the heap fragmentation. So how can we differentiate between heap fragmentation and native out of memory?
Okay, so the way I would do it, within the verbose GC, you should see a requested allocation size. And at the end of each GC cycle, there should be a total number of free bytes.
Okay.
If your allocation size is less than the total free bytes, but you still get an out of memory, that would lead me to believe that we have a fragmentation issue.
But isn't it the same for native out of memory? Then also have a total free larger than the allocation size, but the same is from the verbose GC output is the same.
It's less clear cut. Sorry, less clear cut at Java 1.4.2. The other means of doing this is to set up the process monitoring for AIX and look at the total process size versus the available address space. That will give you a pretty clear indication immediately of whether you've exceeded or are getting close to the address space limits. So it should help make the distinction between the two different scenarios.
Okay, so if there's a mono output chosen, there's sufficient space available. Java heap says, okay, sufficient heap available, so it must be a fragmentation issue.
Yes.
Okay, thank you very much.
Ladies and gentlemen, once again, as a reminder, it is *1 if you have a question, and we'll pause for a moment. And we'll go next to Thomas Hickade with IBM. Sir, your line is open. Please go ahead.
Hello, this is Thomas. I've got a question regarding the Java Core MemInfo section earlier in this presentation. And what I wanted to know is which part of these numbers really displays the amount of bytes which are in use by this specific segment.
Okay, so for each segment, you will have a total pointer, a start pointer, an alloc pointer, and an end pointer. So the size of the segment that was allocated, you can calculate by taking end and subtracting start, and converting the resulting value to decimal, and that will give you the number of bytes that relates to the segment size. In terms of what's in use within that segment, you would do the same calculation but subtract the start pointer from the alloc pointer. And that will give you the amount of, or the number of bytes in hexadecimal that are in use within that segment.
Is this the same distinction between the working set and the virtual bytes?
Effectively, yes.
Okay, thank you.
And Mr. Robertson, we have no further questions at this time, so I'll turn the call back over to you for any additional or closing remarks.
At this time, we'll conclude the presentation. We hope the information presented today has been valuable to you. We appreciate your participation, and we hope you will join us for future presentations, which will be announced on the Web Series Support Technical Exchange site. Remember, a replay of today's presentation will also be available on the site in the next day or two. Thanks very much for joining us today, and thank you, Matthew, for presenting today.